presentation will focus on the recently approved European Directive on procedural safeguards for children who are suspect or accused persons in criminal proceedings. For those who don't know the International Juvenile Justice Observatory, we are a Belgian foundation of public interest based in Brussels. Since 2002, the IGGO has worked for the rights of the children addressing social exclusion, especially for those in conflict with the law, or caught in circles of violence and juvenile delinquency, established in order to create a space for development, service provision, and shared knowledge. The IGGO promotes the encourage of the implementation of juvenile justice systems and policies, the implementation of international standards, and strengthening of professional competence in the field, and exchange of innovations of group practices. The IGGO has been consulting work toward promoting evidence-based policy making in juvenile justice and making children's rights a primary subject in the EU global agenda. We encourage the update of improvement of the juvenile justice policies and strengthening of professionals' competence in the field and knowledge sharing spaces in order to exchange innovative and promising experience. The IGGO also has the consultative status of the United Nations and the European Union. For the last years, knowledge generation projects such as capacity building programs and production of training materials for professionals have become a priority for us. This explains our role in this directive. Since its creation, as a part of our international policy advocacy strategy, the IGGO has been working on influencing regional and national policy making processes and law reforms. Constantly, the directive on procedural safeguards for children suspect or accused in criminal proceedings have been one of our advocacy focuses. For those who are not familiar with the EU policy agenda, let me frame briefly this process and our position on this matter. The directive is a fifth of a series of six EU-specific standards, all in the form of directives, which have been agreed under a roadmap for strengthening the procedural rights and criminal proceedings. The directive attempts to promote constantly in procedural prosecution with the criminal justice system in the EU member states. Throughout our advocacy work, the IGGO has endeavored to help bring evidence and concrete recommendations to the draft text as close as possible to its vision of what children should be entitled to in the juvenile justice system. Likewise, IGGO and Eurochild issued a joint policy paper on proposals for the directive. In this light, we want to remain thinking positive and to hope that this directive can be more than a mere collection of minimum safeguards and spur member states' reforms to fulfill this purpose and become a true trigger of juvenile justice development. The directive needs to be promoted and officially implemented. The directive's purpose is to establish procedural safeguards to ensure that children who are suspect or accused in criminal proceedings are able to understand and follow those principles, to enable such children to exercise their right to a fair trial and to prevent reoffending by children and foster the right social integration. Under this philosophy, we encourage the right to a fair trial, we help to prevent recidivism, and we facilitate their social integration. Let me briefly highlight the most important aspects of this directive. This directive lays down common minimum rules concerning certain rights of children, understood as a person below 18 years old, who are suspect or accused in criminal proceedings, or those who are suspect to European arrest warrant proceedings, from the time from his arrest. Also, those who are children when they became subject to the proceedings, but have subsequently reached the age of 18. Exceptionally, and according to the maturity and vulnerability criteria, member states may decide to apply this directive when the person concerned has reached the age of 21. And of course, this directive shall fully apply where a child is deprived of liberty, irrespective of the stage of the criminal proceeding. We will like more maintaining of the original Article 2 of the Commission, rather than applying the changes that have been become proposed by the Council in the general approach, which may reduce the time of application of the directive. In the original text, the provisions start being applicable from the moment the minor is informed from the authorities from being subject of the investigation. This is a child-friendly directive. It means that it promotes the right of the child, taking into account the Council of Europe guidelines on justice adapted to children. Member States should ensure that the best interest of the child is always a primary consideration, in accordance with Article 24, Paragraph 2 of the Charter of the Fundamental Rights of the EU. Suspect or accused children in criminal proceedings should receive special attention in order to preserve its potential development and their social reintegration. Quick and diligent handling of cases must be applied. Criminal proceedings involving children must be processed urgently and with due diligence. The directive also implements the guiding principles developed at the international standards, as our maid Barbara told us before, such as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Convention of the Rights of the Child, the United Nations Guidelines for Prevention of Juvenile Delinquency, also known as the RIAD Guidelines, the United Nations Standards Minimum Rules for Administration of the Juvenile Justice, aka the Beijing Rules, or the United Nations Standard Minimum Rules for Non-Custodial Measures, also known as the Tokyo Rules. It would like to highlight the most relevant points which talk about the rights of children all along the text. According to Article 4, the right of information, all member states shall ensure that when children are made aware that they are suspect or accused person in criminal proceedings, they are informed promptly about their rights and about their general aspect of the conduct of the proceedings. Member states shall also ensure that children are informed writing orally or both in simple and accessible language about the right to have the whole parental responsibility informed, as provided in Article 5, the article to be assisted by a lawyer, Article 6, the right to protection of privacy, Article 14, the right to be accompanied by the holder of parental responsibility during a stage of the proceeding, other than another hearing provided in Article 15, and the right to legal aid provided in Article 18. Talking about Article 4, the IGGO supports that integration of a precise reference in the text to use a child-friendly language or a specific obligation to provide information both orally and in writing. In Article 6, the right to a lawyer, exceptionally established as mandatory, the proportionality clauses for derogation introduced at Council in a general approach are QBAC, especially concerning the definition of seriousness of alleged offense. The provision of liberty for a short period of time. This introduced wide margins of discretion of the member states are circumstances in which safeguards could not be applied. Article 14 needs to be precise that information collected in the course of the proceeding concerning the child and information about the proceeding itself are, in principle, not to become public, even after the child has reached 18 years old. At that point, instead, any previous juvenile criminal record should be destroyed. Children must also be informed at the earliest appropriate stage of the proceedings in respect of the right of an individual assessment, the right to a medical examination, and the right to limitation of the privation of liberty and the use of alternative methods, including the right to period of review of detention, as provided in Article 10 and 11. Upon the privation of liberty, in respect of the right of a specific treatment during the privation of liberty, as provided in Article 12, the right to be accompanied by holder of parental responsibility during courts, the right to appear in a personal trial, and the right to effective remedies. According to Article 7, the right to an individual assessment, while becoming a specific provision that takes into account the necessary tailored criminal proceedings to the specific needs of each child. The IGGO believes that further definition is needed to ensure the implementation of minimum standards at national level. For same reasons, proportionality derogations shouldn't be applied to this article, as they have undermined the respect of the best interest of the child. In particular, the IGGO proposed to clarify the subjects responsible to carry the evaluation and to adopt a multidisciplinary approach, including the participation of social services, and not exclusive of policy and magistrates. In fact, the psychological aspect is an essential component such as evaluation, and therefore a professional should be present. To develop a series of criteria to be taken into account in consideration in the course of the evaluation, socioeconomic background of the child, level of maturity, emotional and intellectual development. and also to clarify in advance of the purpose of this information and ensure that they cannot be used in the course of the proceeding as further elements charged of the child. In Article 16, the right to appear in person to the trial, participation of the children in the judicial process is in principle deserved in order to ensure that they understand the consequences of the proceeding and that they can support their own defense. Nonetheless, the right to which such participation can be equally important in particular circumstances to protect the best interest of the child while agreeing with the fundamental formulation of the directive to ensure the best defense if it's necessary, the specific minimum standards for proceeding carried out in absence of the child. Finally, taking into account Articles 18, 19, and 20, which are direct responsibilities, to guarantee the legal defense provided by the state in case necessary. It's crucial to respect fair trial guarantees and cannot be subject to proportionality considerations. Training of law professionals who get in contact with children in precondition to guarantee their rights are well respected and implementation of any proceeding is carried out appropriately. Therefore, the directive's phrasing should advise that more clearly an obligation of the member states to integrate such training in their justice system. Finally, the provision of data collection is particularly important to achieve better harmonization of the criminal practices. Currently, a huge gap in the European justice system, as also referred in the recent Commission study on criminal proceedings in the 28 member states. The lack of clear provisions concerning effective remedies is a notable deficit of the text, which also contrasts with the numerous references to the Charter, and that needs to be addressed. According to Article 10, member states shall ensure that the provision of liberty of children at any stage of the proceeding is limited to the shorter appropriate period of time. Due account shall be taken the age and individual situation of the child and the particular circumstances of the case. They also must ensure that the provision of liberty, in particular detention, shall be imposed on children as only as a measure of last resort. Member state shall ensure that any detention based on a resident decision subject to judicial review of a court. Such a decision shall also ensure that subject to periodic review at reasonable intervals of time by a court, either ex officio or at the request of the child, or the child lawyer or the judicial authority, which is not a court. Without prejudice to judicial independence, member states shall ensure that decisions to be taken pursuant to this paragraph are taken without undue delay. Article 11 also emphasizes about the need of the competent authorities to have the necessary means to ensure that they will apply alternative measures to detention if appropriate. It is a short article, but in my opinion, full of meaning and great implications. It's directly related not only to guarantee the existence of alternative detention, but also to ensure that there should be competent authority duly formed with the tools and resources designed for this purpose, which translates into solid institutions whose personnel must be highly qualified and specifically trained for this purpose. According to Article 12, member states shall ensure that children who are detained are held separately from adults, unless it is considered to be in the best child's interest not to do so. In other words, children may be deprived of liberty with young adults unless it was contrary to the child's best interest. Based on its recommendation in the Council of Europe's guidelines on child-friendly justice, the IGGO supports the specification that educational activities must be included, accessible leisure, physical education and sport, guarantees of the respect of religious identity, child-friendly and easy accessible complaints mechanisms to the custodial facilities and independent inspection of institutions providing accommodation to juveniles. The provision concerning separate relations from adults is crucial and should be protected, as well as a specific reference to the possibility of maintaining it also after they turn 18. Regarding children in detention, Article 12 also says that member states shall apply the most appropriate measures, taking into account that they must, first, guarantee the safeguards and their physical and mental health and development, guarantee their right to education, and also, in case that the children with physical, sensory or intellectual disabilities. Ensure the regular and effective right to family life. Ensure the access to programs that foster their development and their social reintegration. And ensure that respect for freedom or religion belief. Taking about Article 12, the IGTO supports that specification that educational activities must include access to leisure, physical education and sport. And we also support child-friendly and easily accessible compliant mechanisms in the custodial facilities, such as independent inspections of the institution providing accommodation to juveniles. We also think that the provision concerning separate detention from adults is crucial and should be protected, as well as the specific reference of the possibility of maintaining it after the Part 15. In the case, the IG position that the audiovisual registration of each question should be subject to proportional derogation is not even in the case that minor is not in custody. So, unauthorized deployment in Article 9, which ensures that questioning of children by police or by other law enforcement authorities during criminal proceedings must be audiovisually recorded, where this is proportional to the circumstances of the case, taking into account the inter alia, weather law, etc. Talking about the training, one of the most important points of this directive is complaining in Article 20, where it says that member states shall ensure that staff of law enforcement authorities and detention facilities who handle cases involving children must receive specific training to allow appropriate to their contact with children in regard to the children's rights, appropriate questioning techniques, child psychology, and communication in a language adapted to the child. Member states shall take appropriate measures to ensure that judges and prosecutors who deal with criminal proceedings involving children have a specific competence in that field, effective access to a specific training or both, and also shall take appropriate measures to promote the provision of the specific trainings to lawyers who deal with criminal proceedings involving children. Finally, they shall encourage initiatives enabling those providing children with support to restore the justice system, and an adequate training to a level appropriate to their contact with children and observe professional standards to ensure such services are provided to any person in a respectful and professional manner. Sum up, I would like to bring out to the directive contribution possibly towards a child-friendly justice by highlighting the necessity of specification and training for law enforcement authorities, staff of detention facilities, the judiciary, prosecutors, and lawyers. This is a welcome and potentially practiced step and should be supported by further EU-wide guidance drawn by international standards. Also, it's worth stressing the right to protection of privacy. The obligation of member states to protect the privacy of children during criminal proceedings and also the right to respect confidentiality at any stage, in any sitting, by all the authorities involved. On the other hand, important provision in regard by the right to information should not be defined. The directive establishes that children are to be informed about promptly and their earliest appropriate stage of the proceedings. However, there is no requirement that either an appropriate adult or lawyer is present when the information is handed over or that information is given to a child form. The directive merely talks of a simple, accessible language. While the Council of Europe guidelines of child rights friendly justice require information and advice to be provided in a manner adapted to their age and maturity, in language which they can understand and which is gender and culture sensitive. In respect of the parents and participation, the directive confirms a child's right to be present at and participate if at the end their own trial. This includes giving them the opportunity to be heard and to express their views. If a child is not present at the trial, the directive provides the right to a new trial and another legal remedy. But let me share with you some final concerns. In regards with the scope of application of the directive, moreover, we believe that the safeguards established in the directive should be applied to all proceedings that entail the possibility of applying restrictive measures of children, independent from their classification as part of the criminal system. Another concern is that the directive restricts its application in respect of minor offences. The directive only applies to the proceedings before a court having jurisdiction in criminal matters. A minor offence is not defined. However, there are many types of incarceration and deprivation of liberty is adopted in non-judicial authorities which should be suitable to the directive. That is to say, we would like the directive to be even more taxative. Further, despite the importance of the right to assistance by a lawyer, a series of derogations and discretionary provisions potentially undercut the provision. The provision of liberty is not properly defined. Not those refer to current requirements attached to any deprivation of liberty established by the European Convention of Human Rights, which should be to be taken into account. On the other hand, the directive set out that the need of a recent decision and a periodic review of this measure. In conclusion, we therefore believe that some amendments in the text might be instrumental to set ambitious goals for reform, to guarantee and to align the directive with international European standards concerning the adequate and effective protection of children in the domain of administration of justice. The directive is made potentially less progressive by a series of exceptionally and discretionary provisions which may facilitate variable practice, but most importantly, and to prevent that, as a new standard must be actually be informed in practice. We encourage to support member states through implementation of the directive by addressing the obstacles which prevent EU standard working. The event held today will give us the opportunity to analyze the impact of the directive on the promotion of alternatives to detention for children and take the discussion on efforts on how these directives must be effectively implemented in practice. Once again, thank you all for being here today and for your interest in this matter.